This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading back to my home state of Washington to talk to an amazing hiker from the Pacific Northwest. Her name is Daniela, and you can follow her on Instagram at petrichor_DC. Daniela shares with us some of the incredible places she's been able to explore both in Washington and in Oregon. We learn about some of her favorite waterfalls in the Pacific Northwest, some unique fungi found on our local trails, and even some bear encounters in the North Cascades. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Daniela. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I am super stoked to have this guest with me today. She's from my neck of the woods, the Pacific Northwest, and she's been sharing some amazing content. Her name is Daniela. She's a Washington hiker, and I'm really looking forward to hearing her experiences out in the outdoors. Thank you, Daniela, for coming on the podcast. You know, we always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Well, first of all, hi, everybody. My name is Daniela, and I've been hiking for, I want to say, four, almost 5 years now. It's kind of a blur as to how I fully started, even though I've been here for 20 years in this state. I think my earliest memory of a waterfall has been Mount Rainier at Narada Falls. You know, I'm sure everybody knows these waterfalls. They're literally right up the road, but it was just magical when I first saw it, and the sound of the waterfalls, you know, they just make me feel so good. So yeah, that's how I first started hiking. Mount Rainier.
I think I've shared this in the past, but the one hike that got me back into hiking was a waterfall hike. And ever since then, I've been hooked.
Yeah. Waterfalls are a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Beautiful thing. You know, you're based out of Washington and you've hiked all over the Pacific Northwest. How would you describe the Washington and Pacific Northwest hiking and outdoor scene?
Well, ever since I started hiking more and more, I met so many awesome people. You know, it's not just the views that you get or the landscapes. The people that you meet along the way actually end up being like really, really valuable relationships in the long run. And the fact that you get to share the love of the outdoors, because everyone here in the Northwest, you know, has some sort of hiking boots or a rain jacket. So you can relate to that. But I just wonder why I didn't get into it sooner, just because the people, it's mostly the people for me that I've met, you know, nature does the job already for me by healing me inside out. But it's the people I'm around that I've met. And that's just, it's really nice.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Really nice. Yeah.
I know you've hit up all three national parks in Washington and both the east side of the Cascades, the west side of the Cascades. What are some of your favorite destinations in state that you like to visit?
You know, funny enough, all of the places I visited, they just mesh together. So just this question is like, let me break it all down. But I would say for me on the coast, I love going to Shy Shy Beach. That, oh my gosh, it's, I don't know if you've ever been. Is part of the Macaw Reservation. Is, I think, the most northwestern point of the continuous USA. So that place is just magical. It just looks like the rocks ripped away and just faded into the ocean. That's one of my favorite parts. So Mount Rainier National Park, that one, my favorite one to ever hike in there has been Comet Falls. Comet Falls is a little bit more of a tougher trail. It's a little bit steeper, full of roots, but you pass a waterfall on the way there. It's a really pretty bridge, and it just splashes you on the face like a mile before you get to the actual Comet Falls. Right before Comet Falls, you go through a little squiggly road, and it's just right in front of you. It's like bigger than life. And if you go during the snowy season, the frost looks like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's a beautiful sight. It's just a really pretty place. For the North Cascades side, my favorite trail to do has been Sahali Arm or Cascade Pass. I think that one is one of also the trail that has gained the most popularity as of recently too. But when you walk, you literally see the canyon just open up. If you go during the right time during the year, like fall, you just see an explosion of colors. It's like fire. It's more like reds and yellows. It's just beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, and did I miss one? Olympic National Park, right? Solduck Falls would have to be my top from there. Yeah, Solduck Falls falls into like three different tiers, all falling at once. It's really pretty, super mossy. And the name of the trail, Lover's Lane Loop. I mean, it's a nice name.
Daniela, you know, I'm not going to make you choose a favorite one because each one is unique in its own way. But I feel like each one does have its best like season to go visit. Which ones do you tend to go to for like, say, the spring months or the fall months?
So if I could put it into categories, I would go to the Olympic National Park between fall and winter, just because you get the nice weather transition. It's not too cold, not too hot either, but you also get those really true moody feels of the Pacific Northwest. You can get fog, and then in 5 minutes you see the sunlight, and then it starts raining again, and then the rainbow appears, and it's all right next to the ocean. Or you can even go to the rainforest, you know? So it's just, I don't know, my eyes process everything when I go hiking. So for me, just seeing all of that happen in front of me is just like magic. So the Olympic National Park would be fall-ish winter. Mount Rainier, definitely during the fall, just because I've seen it all over Instagram, and I'm sure all of us have, but the contrast of the mountain, which is so much vegetation, just thriving with life, is just so beautiful. I'm going to say that word a lot today. Yeah. And then for the North Cascades, I don't know. I just get excited talking about hiking and nature. Makes me just want to go outside right now. But it's dark now. Yeah. The North Cascades, I think year-round. Definitely year-round. Just because there's just so many mountains over there. You also get the same pretty canyons. You get lake, waterfalls. It's just great. Washington is a great, great state.
You know, we're recording this at the end of fall. Basically, we're going into winter. So I got to ask you, how was your fall hiking season? And were you able to get a larch march in this year?
I'm so excited you asked me about larches. Because yes, I was really hoping to catch them this year. And I think I went a little bit before Halloween. And I went to Cutthroat Pass this year. I really wanted to check it out. And I took a friend, shout out DT. I took him over with me, and the larches were just starting to turn bright yellow. So you can see the larches literally have a little bit of green, and then phew, they just like dispersed into this bright yellow color. It was beautiful. Sadly, we didn't make it all the way up to the top because we had some technical difficulties, but we prevailed as much as we could. But we made it back down, and I think it started snowing a little bit almost too. And so the sun just came through the clouds and the snow, and it was just a really nice time. I think the weather gods were smiling upon us that day. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard for me to really know when larches are going to turn, but I feel like this year was maybe a little later in the season. Like, I feel like they were barely starting to turn around Halloween.
Yeah, and you know what? I've noticed that as the years have gone, even though I've been just hiking for, 3-4 years, but the weather has been kind of wonky. So just the changes in colors and stuff, even the flow of waterfalls has changed. So it's wild. I notice it too.
You know, this episode is going to be coming out in the middle of winter. Are there any winter hikes that you're hoping to cross off your list this season?
Yes. I want to say yes, but I haven't thought of any specific ones. I do want to do a couple of repeat ones, though. I don't know if you ever snowshoed Franklin Falls.
Oh, it's on my bucket list.
You definitely should do it. Just, oh man, they do close the road to Franklin Falls, which adds like maybe an extra, maybe 2 miles, but you can park on the road that's adjacent to the road that goes to the waterfalls. If you snowshoe the whole way over there, I'm sure you're going to catch it while it's frozen. And oh my gosh, Franklin Falls when it's frozen. Oh, I don't know how to explain this to you. I literally grabbed an icicle from it last year and it was super big as my arm. And just looking at how just time and water freezes in time and you're watching it in front of you, you definitely should check that one out.
Yeah, I feel like Franklin Falls is one of those few waterfalls where I actually believe that it looks better in the winter than any other season.
Yeah, I think I also visited those waterfalls, I want to say, towards the end of winter, almost going into spring when the snow was still kind of melting. And on the little side of the rocks, when you get to it, there was literally a tunnel of snow that you could walk through. Yeah. So it made it even better. Yeah. I think that snow can add so much adventure to that hike. So maybe when you go and you don't see the tunnel, you might even see a slide. I don't know. You know, that'd be super cool.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list. You know, this probably feels like far, far away. And I feel like both you and me have a really great appreciation and drive to go see the spring wildflowers. What was your spring wildflower season this year? And then are you looking forward to hitting up some new places in 2024?
Yeah, so I went actually down to the east side. If you time it right, you go to Sage Hills, and I think it's about like 10 miles worth of you walking through the hillsides. And those hillsides just like sprout with wildflowers. I am no flower professional. I wish I was, but they can be purple flowers. Yellow flowers, you know, orange flowers, and they're just all around you. There's like oceans and oceans of flowers. I think that would be my favorite place to go for spring flower hiking. But next year, have you ever heard of Dog Mountain? Yeah. And that's where Pull of the Winds is by, I think, is that general area. But so Dog Mountain is another really popular trail, but it's much more steep. I was going to do it this year, but I felt too lazy. And it's like, I want to say 2.5 hours away. So it's a good drive, but we'll do that one for next year.
I'll have to share. Dog Mountain is definitely an amazing place. And it's one of those places where you have to climb a significant amount of elevation to like hit the fields of wildflowers. If you keep going like maybe 30 to 45 minutes east of Dog Mountain, there's the Columbia Hills Wildlife Refuge, or maybe it's Columbia Hills Refuge. The wildflowers are incredible there. They're not as many, but they're really condensed in a tight portion. And the hike isn't as strenuous as Dog Mountain. So I always like to kind of hit that first before I get to Dog Mountain.
For a warm-up, right? Yeah, like, exactly. Let me do this one the day before. Okay, that's a really good one. I'm going to take note of it and probably add it to my next spring hike.
And Danielle, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording, but waterfalls are a frequent feature in your Instagram, and you've had a chance to visit a ton of gorgeous waterfalls across the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
How did your love for waterfalls kind of come about?
I've always liked being around water, you know, and for someone that says that, I don't drink a lot of water, but I've always liked being in a lot of water. My bad. Ever since I moved to the Pacific Northwest, it was around 2004. My parents brought me over here. We moved from Mexico. So it was a big change because back at home, it's desert. I'm from Chihuahua. So for those of you guys that don't know, it's next to the Texas border. But yeah, it's like old desert over there. I think there's a couple canyons, but I never went there. So when I came over here, it was just water, humidity everywhere. And once I visited Mount Rainier, which was probably the first year I was here, it was just like walking into a different realm, or like a fairy tale, or just a painting, you know? I'm sure everybody says that, but Mount Rainier really started my love for waterfalls subconsciously, because I didn't find out until 4 years ago that I really wanted to take that on.
And, you know, I'm not going to make you pick your favorite waterfall unless you have one. In 2023, mm-hmm. is there one that you cast yourself daydreaming about frequently?
Yeah, there's actually two. This year, I made a trip down to Oregon and I went to see Watson Falls. I don't know if you've ever heard of those waterfalls. I never heard of them either until I traveled in Google, because I love Google Maps. So I found Watson Falls, and those waterfalls are massive. It's like, oh, I don't know how to explain it to you, but you walk towards this huge wall of rock in front of you. And it's not just your regular like soft rock. It's just hexagonal in shape, kind of like what you would see in Abiquiu Falls in Oregon, or even Latrell Falls, you know? But this wall just surrounded you from way above, and it's like a huge cathedral, right? But the waterfalls fell down in the most graceful of ways. It just kind of turned into rings dancing back and forth as they made their way down. And I made my way to where the water was falling. And it was such a great shower. It was, yeah, I find myself thinking about Watson Falls so much. It was almost a 4-hour drive, but it was so worth it.
Is that in the gorge, Daniela, or is that?
No, that's actually further in. It's in the Willamette Forest side of things.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think, I forget the number of the highway, but there's two different waterfall alleys they call, I guess, in Oregon. And the one I took was the one along the Blue Pool, but I didn't stop at the Blue Pool because there was a wildfire going on at the time. It was really bad wildfire season. Yeah. So I kind of just went around and checked out maybe 5 other waterfalls along there.
I feel like Washington has some really good ones, but Oregon just has them so condensed like together. You don't have to travel far to see like 20 waterfalls.
They are lucky down there.
Then, you know, sometimes you have to cross a couple walking bridges to reach some of these waterfalls. And some of the bridges that you've walked across and somebody's been able to take a great picture of you walking across them are very unique. What are some of your favorite bridge crossings that you had go on foot?
Well, one of my favorite ones, I would say the one in Lake Serene in the Olympic National Park. I think it's called the Devil's Punch Bowl. So there's a little trail in the back. Yep. And it also takes you through a little tunnel. But once you make it to the actual punch bowl, that little bridge is just so pretty because it's super like brown, I guess. It contrasts so well with the bright blue water. It's a really pretty one. So Devil's Punch Bowl. I also like Wakulla Falls. I think I said it right. Wakulla Falls in Oregon. Now that one's along the gorge, I believe. Through there, there's this really cute wooden bridge that takes you over the smallest of creeks. But if you get further away enough, you can get yourself a really good shot of yourself with the background and the waterfalls there. It's just wonderful. Yeah, super pretty. I love Oregon. One more. Do tunnels count? Because tunnel falls. Yeah, Tunnel Creek Falls. Also in Oregon, you go literally through a little tunnel as the waterfalls fall right outside of that little tunnel. It's really pretty too. Just don't go there during the summer. I almost suffocated. It's so hot.
I got a chance to visit that one, Danielle, maybe in like 2014 before the fire. And I got to visit it, I want to say a year or 2 years ago. And I remember it being more shaded. But now because of the fire that went through there, there's not that much shade. And you're right. Like even in late spring, it's a hot one.
Yeah. And I'm kind of sad that I didn't see it before the fire. So you're so lucky that you saw it too. And its glory, its glory.
The one thing, if you could say it was a positive of the fire, and I tell this to people, is because it cleared out a lot of the trees along the trail, it did expose more waterfalls than I remember. Now, you know, one picture that really caught my attention of yours, and correct me on the name, but it's in the Olympic National Park, or maybe in the Olympics. Stormbreaker? Is that what it's called?
Storm King?
Storm King. That's it.
Mount Storm King?
Mount Storm King. And you got to see one of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen on Instagram. How was that experience?
Oh, man. So that was quite a day, too, because I did it with one of my best friends. I planned everything. down to the time we left my house, down all the way up to the time we get to the trail. So, oh man, we started that trail at around, I think it was around late summer that we did it. So we started around 5:30 in the afternoon, and we had our headlamps ready. We're making our way. I think that trail is about maybe 5 miles in total. So we thought, I don't know, 2,000 feet and maybe 3 miles, right? It can be doable. But no,
no.
Most of the elevation came at the very end when we were trying to go up with the ropes, because there's a big rope section, mm-hmm. which is actually the most exciting part to me, not to my best friend, but to me. So we made our way up at the ropes, and I think it took us a good 15 minutes, but that elevation gain, I think, got my legs completely fit for the rest of the season. So that was nice. It was a really tough trail on the way up. But once you make it up, if you're scared of heights, I wouldn't recommend looking all around you. But we made it all the way up to the top, and the sun was just setting. And I don't know how to describe this. It looked like the water from the lake was melting or mixing in with the sky as the sun went down. It's like the blue almost melted with the yellow that was forming in the sky.
Yeah, the color to combo me, was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for liking that, by the way, too. And I wish I could capture in like more words how it felt to be there. But it's just, again, an explosion of colors. Mount Storm King has the perfect vintage view of, oh my God, Lake Crescent. And I don't know, the mountains just come in between so perfectly that the water just goes around the mountains too. A lot of people have gotten the little birdies to land on their hand from that trail. Mm-hmm. There was no birdies that day. It's okay.
Yeah, you got an amazing sunset for sure. One of our regular segments here on the podcast is we like to do a deep dive on our guest's Instagram feed and then pick a picture or two that kind of captures our attention. And for you, Daniela, you really love fungi? How do you say
the fungi?
You really love fungi, and you've taken some amazing pictures of all the different varieties out there. What are some of your favorite fungi that you've come across? And then what are some of the tips that you can share with us so we can capture beautiful pictures like you of mushrooms and other fungi?
Well, first of all, thank you. Well, I've seen so many mushrooms throughout my hikes, and I never really took attention or really noticed them up until I went to the Mount Baker National Forest and I did Elliott Creek. Okay, so if you want to see mushrooms, that's the one to do during the rainy season. So Elliott Creek goes all the way up to Goat Lake, which you can also see. But the mushrooms there are crazy. The craziest mushroom that I saw that I remember, and I'm pretty sure you've seen a picture of this mushroom, it's called the Amanita, and it's red on the very top, and it looks like it has peanut sprinkles. That's the best way I can describe it, you know? It's poisonous. You shouldn't eat it. But it's a really pretty mushroom. You're going to see those everywhere in that trail, too. I also really like, I doubt you've also heard of this one, it's called cat's tongue. So that one is a little funny mushroom that it literally looks like a clear piece of jelly. So it just like sticks out like a tongue almost. Yeah. And when you pick it, you touch it, and it literally feels kind of coarse and a little bit slimy, right? Really? Yeah. When I first found one, I was so obsessed with it. I think I have a picture of it on my page too, but it was so cool. And it was until later that I found out that it's edible. I can eat that mushroom. And so now that I'm actually a little bit seasoned looking for mushrooms, I found like a good 5 or 6 this year. And wow. I've eaten them all.
How'd you prepare it? Like, how'd you cook it up?
Well, that one, not a lot of people eat it because it just tastes like dirt, you know? Yeah. And call me weird. I used to be a weird little child. I used to eat dirt. So that flavor kind of, it feels like home to me sometimes. It tastes really good.
Well, I have to see if there's any on my side, because, yeah, I think I can recall the picture that you posted of it. And it doesn't look like a regular mushroom at all, but it does look like a cat's tongue in a way based
on the little scales and stuff. You know, and some tips that I would give to anybody, you know, that wants to take on mushroom hunting. Don't forget to look down, like always look down. even in between the moss or the leaves, there's mushrooms everywhere. You just have to condition your eyes. So kind of just picture a little mushroom in your head, at least the shape of it. And once you start looking at the ground or even like dead logs, which is where they all grow, well, for the most part, you know, then your mind is just going to be constantly looking for them when you're walking, and they'll come to you. You know, they'll just come to you.
Yeah, like I got to ask, because you've seen a wide variety, and I'm always impressed on where mushrooms and fungi grow. What's the most unique location that you've seen a mushroom growing?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Ooh, let's see. The most unique location I've seen a mushroom grow in. I don't know. I mean, well, actually, yes, I've seen the mushroom grow out of another mushroom, like a little mutated mushroom. You know, mushrooms are weird. But yeah, it was a little yellow looking mushroom that I saw. And this was at Elliott Creek. Wow, what a good trail. But yeah, it was just two little mushrooms. I honestly don't even know what they were, because at the time I was just learning. So, but yeah, that's growing impressive. On top of each other. Yeah, I should have taken a picture of it. Dang it.
Next time.
Oh, yeah. Next rainy season, because they're all frozen now.
Yeah. Now, you've made it out to my side of the state in eastern Washington, and you got to explore not just Wenatchee, but you've gone a little bit further past Wenatchee. What are some of your favorite eastern Washington destinations?
I feel like I'm going to be really cliche by saying Leavenworth, but I love going to Leavenworth. Just because you have a beautiful little city there, you know, it's really pretty. But Lake Colchuk. Lake Colchuk is probably what Washington is known for during the summer. So Lake Colchuk is great. The enchantments is actually something I want to take on. So I'd probably be doing a lot more hiking over there lately, but I would say that area has my heart for now. I really want to go back to Ancient Lakes. Yeah. Ancient Lakes is really cool. Do you know that around Ancient Lakes, if you look through the canyon walls, mm-hmm. there is a hole. You just really have to look really closely. And I have it on my map. So there's a hole that looks like the silhouette of a fox. It's kind of almost a cave, but not fully a cave. And it's within the walls of the canyon around Ancient Lakes.
Oh, okay. Check that out. You'll have to share that, because I've been to Ancient Lakes and I've hiked on some of the rims of the canyons, but I haven't had a chance to see that, because that would be pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Now you're going to be on the lookout when you go back. Like, where's the wolf in the wall?
For sure. For me, Daniela, during the winter months, that's where I tend to explore, just because it doesn't tend to get as much snow as the mountains. And then one of the big things is I know that rattlesnakes aren't out there at that time, because during the summer months, they're out there in full force, and I'd rather leave them, you know, in their habitat and to enjoy the summer heat.
You're so thoughtful. I went there during the spring and I saw a couple rattlesnakes. They're pretty cool. Pretty cool. Yeah. You know, there's also waterfalls in Ancient Lakes. There's two, right?
I forgot what the lake is, but there's a really neat one that kind of feeds into a lake.
Did you hike all the way up to the one on the lake?
We came.
You should.
Because somebody was telling us that it was pretty sketchy to do the trail by the waterfall. So we kind of came, what would that be, clockwise around to the lake. And then went
back
the same way.
Yeah, I mean, if you go during the winter, it makes sense that it might be sketchy.
One place that I feel doesn't get that much love on social media, and I'm not sure why, because I think it's pretty unique for Washington. You've got a chance to visit 8 caves near Mount St. Helens, and you got a chance to go in there and explore. What was your experience like exploring those caves?
It was so cool. I'm going to get to the full nitty-gritty in a little bit, but just getting into the caves is super awesome. Other than you have to be really careful when you're walking in there. Just, it's like entering a new world, because you enter the world of bats, of darkness. And you're like, what's happening? And believe it or not, there's a lot of creatures down there that just make the caves their home. And also to think that big amounts of lava once moved through all of those caves is just mind-boggling to me. Because I'm like, wow, it's like I'm walking with the dinosaurs here. You know, it's like, it's super cool. Me and my best friend ended up taking the tougher trail too, up into, I think it was the upper canyon, or I don't know, it's the one that has pretty much rocks all the way from the inside out. And that way also has the skylight, you know, so the holes on the top that allowed light to come in. Yeah, that one was really cool because it felt like you were in a spaceship.
Yeah.
Super cool. And the fact that you were not also allowed to touch the walls. FYI to everyone that does visit it, don't touch the walls because they're covered in like a, it's a whole ecosystem. So they're covered in, I don't even know what it is. I forgot what it said on the sign. But they're covered in a whole bunch of different organisms that you don't want to ruin their, you know, whole habitat. So it's a really precious place to go to because you get to admire how delicate nature can be, but also how strong because, like I said, lava, dry lava is just crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
And make sure you go safely too. My friend broke his ankle. Well, not broke his ankle, but he injured it and he hasn't been able to hike with me. So be careful.
Oh, bummer.
I know.
And you know from your experience, Daniela, but it's pitch black in, you know, most sections of the caves. Did you use a headlamp or a flashlight when you went?
I had two headlamps and they both died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was fun because by the time my headlamps died, we were kind of relying on our phones, and that didn't help at all. Yeah. And then we're like, this is not working. And we started trying to hear other people. So you really come in touch with all of your senses.
Oh, for sure. You know, we've kind of touched base on it, but you've had a chance, especially over the last, I feel like, maybe year or two, to really go down and explore Oregon, and not just the gorge or the Oregon coast, but all throughout that northern section of Oregon. What are some of your favorite destinations and memories of visiting Oregon?
Oregon has such a dear place in my heart. My all-time favorite place is the Blue Pool, the Mackenzie Blue Pool, Mackenzie River. Oh my gosh. I went there during the snowy season for the first time. So just walking into there, imagine there's moss everywhere. And with a little bit of snow sprinkled on top, it was just chef's kiss. So pretty. The cool thing about Blue Pool that I didn't know is that it's fed by underground spring chambers or like, you know, so all the water that you see, it's coming from the underground, which I think is awesome, other than being fed by the river too. But it's just really cool. I feel like Oregon has a lot of really magical places. So Blue Pool, Multnomah Falls, you know, I'm sure you've been. Have you been to Multnomah? I'm sure. How many times have you been along the gorge?
I would say back in the day, a lot. You know, for me, I did the Oregon side for a long time. And it wasn't until like years later where I finally took the Washington section. And that just opened up a whole nother world to me as well.
Heck yeah. You know, another other place that I want to check out in Oregon is the east side of Oregon. I think it's called Smith Rock. Is it Smith Rock National? Yeah. I want to go over there. I've seen pictures and videos and wow, it just looks amazing. This giant rock in the middle of no other rocks.
There's a couple more lava tube caves in and around Smith Rock as well.
No way.
Yeah. I'll have to share those with you when you make it down to Smith Rock. You can check those out as well.
That'd be so awesome. Hopefully I don't break any ankles.
Daniela, I feel like a lot of day hikers and some backpackers have like a regular routine that they do, whether it's reaching the summit or maybe at the end of the hike. For some, it's a favorite snack. For others, maybe it's a beverage or trail beer. For some, it's just a moment of zen. Do you have a regular customer routine that you do when you reach your destination or maybe when you make it back out?
Well, every time I make it to my destination, wherever that is, either behind a waterfall, top of a mountain, in my car, I like bringing really good snacks. Really good snacks. Or maybe if I don't bring good snacks, the effort will make it taste even better. But I focus on what I eat at the end. You know, I try to get something really yummy. Sometimes I bring tacos. Sometimes I bring chicken strips, you know, but it depends if there's bears in the area. I don't want to carry that around. I don't want to be bear meat. Yeah. I like to sing along. For those of you out there, you know who Luis Miguel is?
Claro.
Yeah. But yeah, I listen to a lot of Luis Miguel, and that's what I sing on my way down from mostly all of my hikes. It's kind of become a routine for me now. It's wild.
Like that. Now, talking about bears, so I think last year we missed each other on Maple Pass by like a week, but what caught my attention, you captured a picture of a plump black bear, I think feeding on some vegetation when you were on Maple Pass. Can you
share a chunker?
Chunker, exactly.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. That one was at Cascade Pass.
Oh, that was Cascade
Pass. Yeah. Yeah, and I understand why you got Maple, because it was the same colors that Maple Pass gets. Yeah. It's really pretty. But I saw three bears that day. Mm-hmm. It was awesome. Yeah. Actually, when I took that picture that you're talking about, the bear was just nonchalantly eating berries, walking around, and we were eating our lunch on like a rock right above it. So we were just chilling there. It was super awesome. Before we saw that bear on our way up to said rock, mm-hmm. we saw another bear that was following us. So we saw two, and then on our way down, we saw another one. So the three total. I thought I was going to be more scared, you know, because it was a chunky, plumpy bear. But they're so chill over there. I really want to see more bears now. No grizzlies.
Yeah.
Those black bears.
All the times I've been to North Cascades, I've seen their poop along the trail, but I haven't gotten a chance to see one even at a distance.
So would you say that you're pretty good at identifying bear poop now?
Yeah, I could definitely tell the bear poop from like the elk or the deer. Yeah, it's noticeable just because it's so big compared to the rest of the wild.
And it's so messy too. Yeah. Oh man, poop talk. Yeah.
Now, Daniela, when it comes to your pack list, we tend to pack the essentials, but I feel like everyone sometimes has a luxury item, whether it's a special snack or a camera or something that, you know, falls outside of the 10 essentials. Is there a luxury mm-hmm. item that you tend to pack on some of your hikes?
I honestly didn't have one up until recently. I found it really useful to carry a fast absorbing, fast drying towel with me. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where it came from or how it happened, but it was in my backpack one hike, and it helped me out a lot because if you go to waterfalls or just since it's really wet here in the Pacific Northwest, you can just lay that towel anywhere to sit down, you know, or if you accidentally fall somewhere, you can dry yourself real quick. I don't know if it's raining, putting on top of you if you don't have anything. I became really fond of that towel. A towel with me always, even outside of trails, it's really useful to have a towel on you. Yeah, that and my unnecessary cameras. I have two cameras, so I always carry those with me, no matter where I go. Yeah.
You know, 2024 is just right around the corner. And, you know, you've been able to share some of the places that you're hoping to check out. Do you have any other hiking or travel goals for 2024 that you can share with us?
Yeah, I realized that I have over 1,000 trails saved on my old Trails app, and I need to stop. Oh, but my awesome. Thank you. They're not done yet, though. They're just on my list. Yeah. But I think my goal for next year when it comes to hiking and adventuring, I really want to explore more of the Willamette Forest and the Oregon coast. They're so far away, but I feel like if I make a couple trips that last a couple of days, I can explore a lot, you know, because there's the natural bridge on the beach in Oregon. It's the St. Samuel something bridge.
Oh, the Samuel Boardman.
Yes. Oregon in general, I want to visit more. And I'll probably want to do the Ozette Triangle. I think that's what it's called in the Olympic Peninsula. It kind of hits Shy Beach, and then it goes down all the way down to like the Forks beaches, and it goes in like a triangle shape. And it's really cool. A lot of people have done like the backpacking trip, and I've heard beautiful things about it. So that might be another thing for me. Maybe take them backpacking.
Yeah. I took it up just this year because of the enchantments, Daniela, and it's still something I'm not perfecting, but fine-tuning. But it's definitely opened up the hiking trails. Like you said, you know, you have 1,000 right now. Once you add backpacking into the mix, that list just continues to grow.
Oh no, I can't imagine. And you started with such a good trip for your first backpacking trip. Was it your first one?
I did a trail run with our friend Sarah from the Wild Compiled. She took me on her first backpacking trips in the North Cascades.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so cool. I haven't even done a backpacking trip yet, and I feel like a chicken about it. I feel like I won't be able to set up the tent.
Well, you could do what I did, Daniela, before that backpacking trip. I went to, you know, those campgrounds across the national forest where they have a bathroom, but no like running water or anything like that. And you know, I set up my car, but then did everything else like if I was backpacking. So set up the tent, all my cooking equipment, just to do like a trial run before like I was in too deep into the forest and was trying to figure it out.
I don't know why I didn't think of that before. Yeah, okay, that's a really good option. Okay. I'm gonna text you from like my camping spot next time, next to the bathroom, like, hey, I'm following your advice.
There you go.
Heck yeah.
Well, that was it for the regular questions, Daniela. The second part of the podcast is a this or that questions, and we got some new ones for season 5. So I'm just going to give you two hiking or outdoor related topics, and you choose the one that you prefer out of the two. But the first one is, do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Oh man, if you would have asked me this before I turned 30, I would have said a steep decline. But now I feel it in my knees, so I'd rather go up. Steep incline.
I think I know the answer to this one, but maybe not. Waterfalls or summits?
Waterfalls with summits?
I like
I'm that. Just kidding. Waterfalls!
The best of both worlds if you can have them, right?
That's right, yep.
And this next one is about trail systems. Do you prefer trail with switchbacks or straight up?
See, they all have a different feel to them. But if I were to pick one, switchbacks for me. Okay. It makes the pain a little bit more bearable. It's still painful regardless.
And are you team trek poles or do you hike freehand?
Trek poles all the way. I used to be freehand, but using my trek poles has changed the way I hike and the pace at which I hike. So it's great.
And then this one's about footwear. Are you rocking trail runners or are you still with hiking boots?
Always doing hiking boots. I don't think I ever had trail runners for hiking. I need the ankle support. That extra hug is always nice.
Yeah. Now this next one's another trail question, but do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
Aww, I like both, but a loop. More sights to see. You get to see more. Unless it's a poopy loop. Poopy
I like loop. That. And then the next one, and I think I know the answer, I think you kind of answered it earlier on in the episode, but when you do come across a body of water on the trail, do you touch the water, whether it's just, you know, dipping your toe, touching it with your hand, jumping in, or do you prefer to stay dry?
I do everything but jump in. I don't want to get all the way wet, but yeah, I like getting under waterfalls, getting water on my face, splashing it at others, you know, just not going inside.
And this is a hard one because I think you probably witnessed both, but sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
I would say sunset hikes just because I know I can time them right, but they give you a lot more time and less stress to hike after you've seen the sunset, you know? Because last time I did a sunrise hike, have you ever gone to Kelly Butte Lookout? Huh. Or heard of it? So that one is a really good trail to go during the spring if you like bear grass. There's a lot of bear grass there, but I did that one for sunrise with a couple friends years ago, and we got the worst weather of my life. It was super foggy, super rainy, and by the time we got to the top, we were even facing the wrong way for sunrise. So I just need someone to give me a good sunrise experience, and I'll probably say sunrises.
This one's another tough one, Daniela, because I think you love both of them.
Bring it on.
Spring wildflowers or fall colors?
Fall colors, actually, all the way. More than spring wildflowers, yeah. Like I said earlier, you know, the colors, it's just what's enchanting to me. It's just like fire.
Yeah.
It's like nature just like dancing with all the, it's just pretty, yeah.
The last one is another new one, but when it comes to outside of the national park system, do you like to visit national forests or state parks?
Right now, I'm on a mission of doing all the state parks in Washington. So I would say all the state parks for meow, but I do check out the National Forest too.
Well, that was it for the this or that question, Daniela. It's been amazing having you on the podcast and hearing about your experiences. For folks that want to follow your journey in 2024 throughout all the beautiful places you get to visit, what are some of the places online and on social media they could find you at?
Well, I am a little bit of an old person on the internet, so I just have my social media being Instagram. So you guys can follow me at petrichor_DC. And for those of you that don't know, petrichor is my favorite word. It's the smell of rain.
Really?
The smell of the earth when it rains. Yep.
I like that. Okay, that's a little Easter egg for folks. Thank you so much, Daniela. It's been awesome talking to you.
I had an awesome time.
Really looking forward to what 2024 has to offer to you.
I appreciate all the time today, Ivan. It's been amazing. Thank you for the time, and I can't wait for what adventures will bring this next year.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Daniela. We extend our heartfelt thanks to her for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow her upcoming adventures on Instagram at petrichor_DC. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes for more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketza. Follow him on Instagram at Ketza Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.